getting real
anyway.
Rocks. Come on, come on.
Give it to me now, baby, come on. Give it to me now, baby, come on.
Let's go.
Let's teach these people just how we party. Let's get together and dance. Let's get together and dance. Let's teach these people just how we do it. Just shake your body, just like this party.
Hello.
Hello.
I am the host of Getting Real with Roz on the Mark Show. We have Fog Holler from Portland, Oregon. It's always so fun having guests on the show performing live. I've also been able to hear them perform when they came to Seattle, and sure that I'll see them again. Now, this is the part where I speak life into the listeners. Speaking life into someone is sharing something that lifts the other person up, along with inspiring words of faith. This show and any show that I've done, I speak life into the listeners. You are not your past. Do you need a jump start? Turn off the negative voices. They're lying to you. I'm here to pick you up and turn you around and get you far away from those voices. Run away from them. Don't walk. Now, every third Monday of the month, I will bring on a new guest and get to hear their music and hear about their lives in the entertainment industry. I'm thankful for our radio family to be able to help spread the love and education to our listeners. Just a reminder that you can have a free download of my intro song, Baby Come on the Infidel Radio SoundCloud or Blog Talk Radio. SoundCloud.com/InfiniteLENT or BlogTalkRadio.com/InfiniteL. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on Getting Real with Roz, you can submit your request to grwr_@InfiniteLENT.com. In the subject area, put Featured Guest Inquiry. Last week, my next guest and I were performing at the same time at Seattle's airport. It was great seeing and hearing her. She is a singer-songwriter from Seattle and incorporates elements of folk, country, indie, along with rhythm and blues. Along with her list of accomplishments, she is also fun to talk to. Let's bring her on now. Welcome, Tekla Waterfield. I almost got you in there a little too early.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, it's doing good. We were just talking about something really exciting, and I think I'll follow up with you maybe later about the song that that you were telling me about a minute ago. But I'll ask you about that a little bit later. That was kind of cool. So I consider you, by the way, a new mom. I've seen some pictures of your sweet, cute little baby. How old is she, and has it made it difficult for you to perform and do music?
Yes, it has been a little bit difficult. I've still figured out ways around it. She is 17 months, so she's almost a year and a half. So she's still very much like, you know, very, very wanting. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily due to her age, but. No, it is. Yeah, she's very needy. She needs her mama. She's like really in that stage where she wants time with me, and I am doing full-time mom, and I'm part-time music is kind of how I look at it. So I still play, you know, the CTAC gig is kind of my regular, kind of keeping my toes in the scene kind of thing. And then I have occasional kind of venue shows and things like that. And then occasional, like, you know, kind of private, like, you know, gigs where we get hired to play like at a, you know, a wedding reception or, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm still doing it. It's different because when I was single and, or, you know, not with a child, I went to a lot more shows just to kind of like support other local musicians that I know and kind of be around. And just like, it's a kind of a big part of, for me, like of how I've been able to kind of find my niche in Seattle is like connecting with the musicians and in the music scene. And so that's been a lot harder because I need to be home with Edie. I need to be, you know, mama. So, but it's working. It's working.
Is this your first?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you started, okay, you've been performing before the baby. Is it, did you think like, oh no, I'm going to be able to handle this and be able to keep my full time? Or were you realistic and just thinking, let's wait and see how this goes?
Well, I was kind of thinking, well, I might just take some time off. I might just totally want to just throw myself 100% into being a mom. And I wrote a song about it. I wrote a few songs about it. I haven't made a studio recording of it yet, but it's called Will You Remember Me? And I wrote it like when I was pregnant and thinking about how I was going to step back and not be out in the scene. And, you know, would any of what I did over all these years, would it stick with anyone? Would they remember me? Would they remember the songs? You know, just kind of ruminating on like what kind of impact we have, you know, with putting ourselves out there. And then, you know, it was about, I don't know, I actually played like the first show I played, she was only like 3 months old. I mean, it's like the need for me to perform is so strong. Like it's a pull that's like, I just feel like I'm not really being my full true self, you know, if I don't kind of regularly put myself in that, you know, situation. Yeah. So it quickly
did your voice
was like,
change? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, yeah, that was it. But yeah, you were saying did your voice change
afterwards, or has it been the same, or has it just a matter of hadn't, you know, like what happened with your voice? Anything at all?
Well, one thing that was really noticeable was when I was pregnant, we did some recording and my breath support was really bad. It was just like I could barely sing like I normally can. I usually have like really great, like I can hold a note for really, you know, like I know how to like breathe and how to, you know, sing, but because of all the, you know, the things going on in your body with the baby growing in there, my lungs were just, you know, I guess they were just smushed up, but yeah, that was kind of it. And then, after she came around, I feel like it was, yeah, you get a little bit of that, like you have to dust yourself off and kind of like, you know, you know, yeah. It was really, for me, it was the guitar that I was like, can I still do this? Like I had to like,
oh, right.
Practice a whole bunch before I, got back into playing at SeaTac, especially because those sets are longer and it's like, okay, can I do 2 hours of guitar? Cause for me, singing is just like speaking. It's like so natural and like who I sing all the time, all day long. I'm one of those annoying people that's always singing, but but guitar is a little harder for me. It's not as like natural.
Yeah.
So that was really, that affected me a lot.
Wow, that makes sense. Does she like music already? Does she dance or try to sing or just like to listen?
She does dance and she does sing. We were just singing the ABCs a little bit ago.
Aww.
And she's starting to know some of the words, you know, like when you go L-M-N-O-P, because it pauses, she'll be like, P, you know, and sing like that. We started taking her to this baby music class. It's amazing. It's called Music Together, and they do classes all over the world where you're following the same curriculum of music, and it rotates every, like, series. There's, like, I don't know how many weeks. Each session has, like, a few weeks where you do this curriculum, and then they rotate the next curriculum. But anyway, we started when she was 3 months or 4 months.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, I mean, it was kind of really for me too, because it was like, there's so much that changes during that early postpartum period where you're like, oh my God, suddenly I'm totally alone with a little tiny baby all the time. Like, so it was good for me too, to get out and kind of connect with other moms but yeah, so she's been like getting regular, you know, music. And then my husband's a musician too. So like, she's already been on, my husband played with, he plays with the Indigo Girls from, you probably know who the Indigo Girls are.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went backstage, they were playing at Zoo Tunes last summer, and I was wearing her in the baby carrier, and they saw us and they like come up here, and I was like, are you serious? So we got to stand up on stage and kind of sing along that their big song, Closer I Am the Fire. Yeah, you know that like their super famous like 80s song. Yeah. So that was,
oh my
awesome.
Gosh, and so you baby got to sing,
yeah,
with the Indigo Girls. She was
asleep, but it was like,
oh, okay.
she's already, yes. And then I sang with this other local songwriter, Stephanie Ann Johnson, who's amazing. You would love them if you haven't them yet. And so Edie was up on stage with when we were singing in that group too. So yeah, she's,
how cool. So she's already a baby musician. That's really sweet. Do you, like, in your mind, do you just assume she's going to be a musician or something you're pushing towards, or is you feel like just whatever happens?
Well, I mean, yes,
she's only a year.
I feel like all of those things. Like, of course, I want her to be true to herself and whatever that will look like. You know, it's hard to know, but I'm kind of like, ooh, it would be pretty weird if she wasn't into music. Her mom and dad were very music
right.
people, you know? So it'd be kind of strange,
yeah.
you know, like, what? How did this happen?
Right. But, like, where did she come from? So how old were you when you got into music?
Well, I was the daughter of a musician as well. So my mom played all through my childhood. She took my sister and I to folk festivals. We grew up in Alaska. So we would just, you know, go to these folk festivals while my mom would be playing and we'd be camped out and she'd have us up on stage doing, you know, a song or two. So, and we'd be the cute little kids that were, you know, singing and, you know, so I kind of grew up like, and then my mom would be in these like jam circles on at bonfires on the beach. And it was just normal. Like I was just used to my mom, you know, just being out there and singing and playing instruments. And there were times when it was embarrassing, like when you knew you hit that kind of like that stage of life where you're like, I don't know. 12-ish, you know, where you're just starting to really maybe get more like self-conscious or, you know. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, my mom, oh my gosh, she's so embarrassing. She's like, being like, and she, you know, but no, it's just, yeah, I totally just grew up like singing and then was always interested in writing without really mm-hmm. realizing I was. I just always
okay.
was writing like poems and, but it wasn't until it was after college. I went to college for fine art, which is one of my other passions, and mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, I need to be doing music, and I just randomly wound up joining this band, and then that was when I really started like writing my first songs, and that's when I picked up the guitar. So I was a little older.
Mm-hmm.
I was 28.
Okay.
So,
oh my gosh, stop.
What?
When you got into like playing the guitar and singing on your own?
Yep.
Wow.
Whereas my husband started playing guitar when he was 8. So he's, his like flames fly off his fingers. You know, he's like that
wow.
guitar player where I'm just like, okay, I'm trying.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, that makes sense for sure. I know you reminded me about, you know, I grew up with my mom singing. Actually, her side of the family, they were professional musicians, traveled and recorded and toured, you know, all that stuff. And then here I come, you know, and I'm total opposite. I did opera and
oh, cool.
you know was in the total classical music scene. It was either that or gospel. It was like those, that was it for me. But
mm-hmm.
It just reminded me about, I didn't even know how big my mom was, you know, in Kansas City. Like even today when I went home to Kansas City, you know, some women stopped and really my mom couldn't even say anything because the lady was just talking the whole time. And so my mom, after she left, she was like, who was that? I was like, I don't know. But it's just growing up in that is just, it's it is, I can see what you're saying about your daughter, because when you're into all of this music, how could she not be? You know, there's always a possibility, but, you know, if not, like you say, you know, you just let her explore whatever it is for
right.
her, you know, type of thing. But what do you do outside of music? Like, since both of you and your husband are in music, like, how do you break from that or what do you do?
Well, I mean, it's really very much the central, like, focus of our lives. But we're both also, at times, when we have, you know, the time, which is not much right now. we both do visual
yeah.
art. We're both, like my husband does, really amazing drawings, like very detailed, like pen, ink, like sort of caricature drawings. Like he does a lot of, portraits of musicians, and he hasn't been doing them as much in the last few years. He's just really very obsessive about music, and really so am I. And
mm-hmm.
I do portraits too, actually. That's kind of my other
nice
thing. But I mean, otherwise, I mean, really, it's like friends, family, getting outside. I exercise a lot. I mean, I'm really like, my life is very much like music. It's just like music.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that. I love that. And by the way, I got to get to this. What is your, I love your name.
What
does it mean? Where does it come from? Like, how
yeah.
did that happen?
Yeah, it's, I know it's different. I was named after my great, great grandmother on my father's side, who was Swedish. And, the name is of a Greek origin and it means divine God. So,
wow.
No big deal.
Oh, my gosh. So you have to deliver with that name.
Right? I know. It's funny. But
that is beautiful. I love it. Whoever it is, I love different names. And that one mm-hmm. really stuck out to me. So I had to make sure that I was able to ask you that. And then as far as, because I don't want to forget, if you can tell everybody what we were talking about, you said that you were performing the day we were performing at SeaTac, and you were performing Dreams, or whatever day that was, at Seattle Airport. You were mm-hmm. performing that. Could you tell them? What we were talking about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I was playing Dreams, I think it's Dreams, plural, by Fleetwood Mac, and a guy came up and he was taking some video, and I was kind of smiling at him, like, you know, it's just normal, like, people come up, like, you know, like, you're a spectacle, and they're, like, taking, like, selfies with you and stuff, so you just get used to it, I'm sure you know, but, yeah, and then afterward, when the song was over, he came up and said, I just did a songwriting session with Mick Fleetwood for a week. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, in LA. Like, you know, like, are you really? You know, and then he just left. He just walked away. And I was sitting, it's not like I'm going to get up and chase after him, but I really
right.
wanted to him to come back and for me to be like, tell me all about it. What's it, you know, what's it like getting to, like, you know, write songs with, you know, I mean, just on that level, it must be so amazing. But yeah, so stuff like that. Just, it's funny how that happened. Yeah.
I was telling also about Tekla. When I saw her at the airport, she came over and spoke to me, and I didn't know that she was there. And I was just telling her how unprofessional I am, that I'll stop singing when I see a puppy or if I see a baby walk past, and I am just totally just out there. So I probably would have stopped and ran after him, because that's just how I do things, and I'm really weird on stage, but it's funny sometimes, and it's just me being me.
Oh.
But let me ask you one more question before we listen to your
mm-hmm.
next song. But this is what I ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What you using? Do you record yourself, or what mic or equipment do you like to record with or perform with?
Oh, that's, you know, it's funny. I am so lucky that I married a gear guy, because I am not good at gear stuff. Like, I was playing this rinky dinky guitar that someone just gave me that was, like, really kind of a POS. My husband is, he's just a guy that just knows about all the best mics, all the best gear. If you ever want to have him on your show, he is a great guy to talk to too. He's really fun. So I honestly, I use a Shure, mic, but I really like that. That's, I'm just not a gear person. So yeah, I'm just, like,
so not
terrible.
Only am I going to have him on the show, but I'm going to come over.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's talk about this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
My husband just left. We were recording
mm-hmm.
A little bit ago. So he knows a lot as well. So that mm-hmm. is definitely helpful. I don't know if you met him or not, but
mm-hmm.
Really helpful to know that you have a husband who's also supportive and
mm-hmm.
in the business with you. So
yeah, it's great.
So let's
yeah.
take a quick break, Tekla. Let's take a moment to listen to your music. And how about we start with Better Days? How's that?
Sure.
Okay, let's get going. We don't know who to ask.
Hey, you're listening to Roz on the Infinite L Radio. I'd love to connect with you on my Instagram page, Getting Real with Roz.
Well, Tekla, that's beautiful. I love the title. What does this song mean to you?
Well, I wrote it during the pandemic when everything was shutting down and, you know, it was like a lot of heaviness and everything felt very uncertain and confusing and emotional and, you know, we just didn't know what was going on. So it's very kind of literal. I mean, the four walls around me, you know, just, you know, feeling stuck inside. And my husband was, had lost all his work, working musician, and he had a big year lined up and it just everything. So we were very like, you know, just like so many people were just totally like, you know, just out there, like, what are we doing? You know? You know, that song was about like, okay, I hope, you know, there's better days to come and we'll get through this. And it, for me, like our house wound up being a little safe haven because we were kind of forced for the first time ever to be really stuck together. And that actually was the catalyst for us creating our first album as a duo together, because like we weren't running off doing, you know, different things. And so it, you know, just wound up leading to beautiful things for us. And I'm proud of that song. I submitted it to one of those songwriting contests. I think it was the Great American Song Contest. I forget. There's so many of them, but it was a finalist, a national finalist, which was like, I've never gotten a song like, you know, that far in one of those contests. I don't know if you submit to those ever, but I was like, wow, cool. So
yeah, no, that's not normal. You definitely have a great song. But I was going to ask you, as I was listening to it, sometimes when I'm singing, I think my voice sounds like yours, but it comes out a little bit like Tina Turner or just really overly strong. But in my mind, I have like a really pretty, beautiful voice like this. But as I was listening, it just felt like, helped me, it almost like it has such a calmness to it that I felt like, you kind of already answered this, but like, had you had TV placement or radio, you know, other radio stations that has this song in particular?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song did get some radio play, and I actually did a stint of, after this album, because we were home during the pandemic, and we put this album out ourselves, I mean, just countless hours learning how to submit to radio stations and how to do the whole thing. So then I wound up doing radio PR and press PR for other musicians for a while, because I kind of learned a lot about how to pitch music to radio and how to get press write-ups and all that stuff from doing this album. I was able to get our album quite a bit of press, like internationally. We got press in just kind of all over. We got radio play in like random, like Korea and in Wales, and you know, and we got write-ups in the UK, and like, it just, it's weird how you can be at this like indie level, but you can be kind of visible in that way just because of how we can connect now with technology and emails and you know, all that. So
Well, it's really great. I mean, I when I heard you that day, it was, you know, nice. It was short, you know, because, of course, by the time I'm finished, my brain is, like, needing to get food and all that. But even the short amount of time I was able to hear you, you have such a great voice. And just hearing the song, what other song do you feel like you've written that just pulls at your personal heartstrings the most?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably the first one that pops to mind really is very personal because I wrote it when I met my husband. It's called Love Comes Along, and I wrote it to be sung as a duet. And it's a very kind of classic country kind of song. And it's very personal because it's a, like, before I met my husband, I had a really tumultuous number of years of failed relationships, and I was actually married before, and I was divorced, and I was like totally disheartened by like the notion of really finding my person. And so I met my husband, and like, it was just like all the puzzle pieces kind of fell into place. It all just like, it was like, oh, you know, this is real, this can really happen. And And it was really important to me. I was just someone who really wanted to find my partner and not just like fall in love, but like someone to have, you know, build and have a long life with, a partner. So that song, Love Comes Along, you know, it's talked about like I was just out there just totally lost, and then you came along and, you know, it made me stronger. And, you know, so that's probably a very personal one for me. But I write very personal songs. They're kind of, honestly, a lot of them. I mean, I do some kind of snarky ones. The next one we're going to play is a little snarky, but I do write a
I
lot
can tell
of,
by
kind of,
the title.
Yeah. But I do write a lot of very kind of very like soul searching, you know, really like pulling into the deepest thoughts and like not light music, I would say. I do tend to write like a lot of very kind of, you know, music that is really contemplating all of life, every little tiny, teeny moment of it. And just, it's how I've learned that it's how I process. I like, if I have a really emotional response to something, there's a good chance I'm going to go home and like turn it into lyrics, because it really helps me like, kind of make sense, you know, of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever broke down during a set, like while you're performing or while you're singing a song?
I mean, I not one particular time sticks out in my mind, but yes. So, oh no, actually, yeah, one particular time at the airport, because I had just gotten news while I was playing that my friend had died, and it was Yeah.
Oh and my goodness.
So it was awful. It was just awful. It made me like be like, I need to just not look at my phone during sets, because you wouldn't expect to get that kind of news, like, you know, just on a text. It was terrible. But but music has made me cry for sure. Like, I mean, especially harmonies. I used to sing in choirs like in high school, and I would just like, oh, I just, you know, fall apart because the beauty of it. It's just the sounds.
It's hard for me. Like, I have to turn my, I have a couple songs that I wrote for my husband, and I can't acknowledge him. I can't talk about the song much, because I already know what's going to happen. And if I cry, it's over. Like, there you have lost the whole entire show out of me. You know, what's your most memorable performance? Can you think of anything in particular?
Oh, well, you know, this is terrible, but you know what happens is a lot of times I think about like really kind of the worst moments, and that's when my mind goes right away. But I think those moments do make you stronger. They make you work harder, but like, yeah, I sad that my mind just goes right to like, oh, I remember this time when some sound guy said some shitty thing about me and I found out about it from a friend. Yeah. That's where my mind went. It's not terrible, but that was, you know, people have their opinions, and I know.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not a good time.
I know, but I know not everybody is going to like what I do. You know, like, it's just how it is. But anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Okay. Like, I'm trying to think of like.
Or maybe a good one, like something really like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was on stage with the Indigo Girls, like something like that.
Well, you know, just recently, I was kind of like a full circle kind of thing. I just got asked to play this show that was a benefit for a friend for his health issues he's having, and it was a bill that of musicians that I've really looked up to for my whole career as a musician, as a working professional musician, and that was the first time I got asked to be on the same bill with these artists, and I had to like downplay it and you know, just play it cool. But I was definitely like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. I'm playing with these like people that are of this caliber that I've been like looking up to for so long. So that was really,
That's really cool.
Cool. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have learned that if I meet somebody who I'm really, value and look up to, that I'm actually not cool at all. 100%. So I told Tekla before we started the show that I saw two of my favorite TV hosts from HDTV, and they're here in Washington, and it's called Unsellable Houses. And I saw them; they were standing and recording something right by where I was performing. Of course, I was on break. As soon as they get, of course, you know how that happens. But
yeah,
somebody that they were with actually ended up walking past me while they were together. He says, oh, you sound amazing. So that felt like, you know, a little bit better. But
yeah,
so I took a picture with them that looks so ridiculous. If you go on my personal page, Instagram page, you'll see. I think, I don't know if you're on there or not, but I look absolutely ridiculous. But that picture was well worth it for me to see them because they are so funny and so spunky and so nice. So anyway, I know. So if you get a chance, just look at it. And it was pretty funny. But
I know how you feel. I feel the same way in front of people that I really like. I'm just like, oh God, I'm just the biggest like dork. I just can barely. Oh, but good for you for asking for a picture.
And I think because normally I'm probably would have kind of geeked out and just not said anything, but I know their personalities, which is how I started life. And it reminded me and my sister, one of my sisters in particular. So that's what made me really start liking them, and they're twins too.
Yeah.
So that made it, you know, funny.
Okay.
Those
two guy twins?
Yeah.
With the girl?
No, not that.
Oh,
I didn't even think about that. They're twins too. Yes. No, these are female twins, and they've actually started doing a lot more with HGTV and talking, doing like the different competitions with the HGTV hosts, you know, some of the big ones. So they've done really well.
I can't
believe how time flies. So let me get going so I can get to your second song.
Okay.
Did you have lessons growing up or on your own? Like you said that at 8 years old, 28 years old is when you actually started playing?
Yes. Yeah, I did not have lessons growing up. I sang in choirs growing up, and in high school I was in a choir with a woman who became kind of a lifelong mentor, who was an opera singer, and she did it throughout college and I think beyond for a while, but then she wound up being a teacher. And so I really lucked out by getting basically through the choir I was in high school, like voice lessons without really knowing that that's what I was getting, because she taught me really like properly, like how to sing, like how to like use my voice. I always sang my whole life, but, you know, I sang all through high school in her choir, and it really honed my voice. So that was like a gift that was just, you know, a lucky luck of the draw. And we're still in touch. She's still a good friend of mine. So I feel like lucky that happened. But as far as an instrument, we never, unfortunately, we were very, very dirt poor growing up, and there were three siblings, so, you know, my mom just didn't have, she was basically a single mom. We had a slew of father figures that were, you know, just not, like, long-term, so we were just shaky financially, so we just never had the money, or, you know, my mom just didn't have the ability to, like, get there, so I taught myself to play guitar very slowly. Starting with the cowboy chords, the very basic, you know, and then over time, like expanded a little bit. And then I did take lessons for about 6 months with a teacher in Seattle, who kind of opened up a little bit further for me. And then since then, I've just been trying to like add a little bit more on my own, just as I go along. So yeah.
Nice. Really nice. Well, having lessons or having no lessons, you've proven how talented you are. And I think we're ready to get a short break and listen to another one of your masterpieces.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. All right, Radio Fam, here is Original Lies. I can't wait to talk about this one afterwards. So stay tuned, everybody.
3, 4.
Black and blue, employed by the serpent, revile and belittle. The more we shrink, the bigger and bigger and bigger your authority grows. Tall, tall giants, little boys and little girls.
God. I pray you laugh. I pray you cry. Why don't you step into the garden where the green grass grows? Release your heavy burden. Let the water of life flow. Just let it flow.
Are listening to Getting Real with Roz. If you like music videos, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Roz Music Page.
Okay, Tekla, let's start from the top. What, or should I ask, who inspired this song?
Well, you knew it was a someone, huh? I was inspired by the old Donald Trumpster. This was back in, it was like, I think I wrote this in 2016 or 2016, I think. Yeah. I was so angry about all of everything that was going on. And, you know, sometimes I'll know I want to write about something and I just need some like direction. So I remember this, it's been a while now, so it's not as clear my memory of how this song was written, but like I was thinking as I was listening to it, like I remember I looked, I can't remember why I looked at the, I was reading about like the like parts of the Bible, and I can't remember what made me want to do that, but something clicked, like something clicked in like how I could talk about him without saying anything like directly about him or like,
you know,
just in a more like, I'm pissed off at this authoritarian figure that's like, you know, just pushing people into these boxes and, you know, just feeling like angry about all of that. And it kind of came out this way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of frustrating because as I listen to it, I write songs like this too, but that's sort of like one of my favorite beats. And then that it's sort of like, what is it? Oh my gosh, I just forgot the name. It's not necessarily a drone, but you know, when you keep the can you give me the word? It's the word where you do the phrasing
loop?
Over and over.
Loop?
Sort of like a loop. And there's even another word that gospel music they have, but whatever it is, that's sort of like kind of my favorite. And it is just so infectious when you listen to it. And so, but it's also, I love it because when you can kind of interject some of your, you know, kind of feelings or beliefs in something and people kind of don't care at that point because they're listening to such good, you know, music or rhythm. And so that's kind of like the trickiness of that song, but I love it. I love how you, like you said, without saying anything directly, you can still speak your truth and get your heart out on paper and out on music. So I always appreciate artists who can do that because that's when I moved here, 2016. Yeah, it was a little different. Yeah. I'll just say this, it was different because I moved from Kansas City during that time. But out of all the CDs you released, which one was your favorite?
Probably Trouble in Time, which was that album that had the song we listened to earlier, Better Days, on it. That was the one. It's really just, it was so pivotal for me because it was the first album that I really feel like I sat in the room in a production capacity, really. Like that I think I've just wanted to write and then gradually wanted to record. And like early on, I really just was like, what do I do? How do I do this? Like, I just sing and I play guitar and I write, but like, how do you actually like produce a song and like what instruments are going to be on it and what's the vibe and what's the genre? And like, it's taken me so much time to learn all of that, that I just would kind of like step back and just kind of allow the people that I work with to like have a little bit more freedom so that I could kind of learn that way, you know, like, that album Trouble in Time, I was like, I really had more of a stronger sense of like, I want it to be this way. I want these instruments. I want it to have this vibe. And like, it was a first for me. So that was, you know,
nice.
Yeah. And it's the most recent album that I've recorded. So it in a way though, it has kind of stalled me a little bit because I was so happy with how it went that it's like, I want to recreate that exact thing, but that's just like,
yeah,
you can't exactly do that, you know, the same thing. You know?
I was actually just about to ask you when your next release would be then. Do you feel like you need a little time? Are you always thinking ahead about when you're going to do some more music? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I think ahead I do. But really right now it's like the day to day with being mama is so consuming.
Yeah.
Like really hard. Mm-hmm. But my husband and I start some initial tracking while I was pregnant, and then we did some tracking a couple months ago of a bunch. So we have in the works like a lot of my songs that I've written over the last few years, including there's a collection that's really about like what I went through postpartum. You wouldn't know this, but I had a really, really, really bad postpartum experience that sent me into a mental health clinic for 10 days because I had wound up getting postpartum psychosis, which I had never even heard of
before.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. So I didn't want to ask, but I know you said that. I don't know how, because I don't have kids. I've never had this experience, but I am actually curious if you don't mind, especially then coming out, like if you're able to bring music into it, but could you explain about what postpartum psychosis is?
Yeah. So, it's 1 in 1,000 women get it, and it's just they don't know exactly what causes it, but it's most likely to do with two things, which is the hormonal shift that happens in your body is so intense, and two, when you're in the infant newborn stage, your sleep and your rhythms are so disrupted that you are you're getting extreme sleep deprivation. So it's the two things really, the combination of those. So for me, I didn't know what was happening. Things were starting to ramp up. I was just, you know, I was like, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. And then I wound up in the ER and I was flipping out of reality. I wound up being completely basically in a dream state for 10 days where I was kind of aware that like there was reality and then what I was experiencing was not reality. Like I had conversations with God, with angels, it was just a complete, like, it was, I feel like it was kind of like a near death slash, like, just a really wild experience. But it took a long time once I came back home and like kind of got on medication and things and like gradually kind of got back some normalcy to life and everything that I like was able to really start writing songs to process everything kind of that happened. And it was just a crazy thing. I had never thought that was something that would happen. And so I have a lot of songs that I kind of want to put out an album that's like all just talking about. I wrote one while I was in the facility, and it was like I was realizing that I was alive, that I was okay, that I had. If I was hungry, I would eat. If I was thirsty, I would drink. I am alive. I am complete. Me, that's like the most, deeply to my soul, like kind of like intense song that has come out of me. So that's those are songs that I'm working on. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what about the baby? Like, was she, yeah. she was born at that point and, or she
yes.
was not, had not.
She was born. This was right after having her within, I think 10 days was when this
10
all,
days.
She was 10 days old. She was with my husband, my mom, and my brother had to fly in from Alaska and stay and help out because, you know, it was just like shock. Everyone was shocked. Like what's happening?
Oh.
That, you know, it's like, you don't see that kind of thing coming. It was just, I got home and I was holding her and I was very, very confused mentally. I mean, it takes time to kind of come back, recover from something like that. I mean, it's really traumatic. Your brain is like basically getting like sort of disorganized and then you have to reorganize it. I mean, it's, it's people liken psychosis to experiencing like a really long drug trip.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a lot.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it. And also, there's been, interesting enough, maybe two, possibly three, I think two for sure, had of my guests. I actually, for them, they had dealt with mental, breakdowns where they felt suicidal. And so I actually, just for the radio listeners, I gave the suicide hotline number just to remind people that they can call in somewhere. And so it's amazing, especially being artists. We already go through a lot sometimes, but we also have that outlet to be able to, you know, write music or to kind of bring it into our personal daily life. But something like this is very different. I've not heard of the psychosis part of postpartum. So thank you for sharing about that. And so it would be definitely interesting with your, you know, when you said you start working on that music and bring it to life as you're writing it. Very, very appreciative of you sharing that part of you. And then looking at that sweet baby's face, I know it kind of probably would be hard to know that you ever felt that, you know, a certain way. But, you know, we can't really control that part, you know, of what happens with our body. So, again, I appreciate you. Sharing that. And as far as so I think it's, man, like I said, just time flies. It seems like just yesterday we were talking about the radio show and then all of a sudden it's almost over, you know. That's how fast time is. Are you're not with a label, are you, or indie? Are you
no, I
which
have...
one would you prefer, indie or major?
Oh, you know, I mean, I haven't ever experienced a major label, so I don't personally know like which way would be. I think it would be amazing to have some support from a label, in terms of distribution and really like at this point, booking is a big thing for me too. Like getting, cause I've paid so many dues at this point that I don't want to just play shows anymore just for fun. Like just to do it. I would like them to be special and like, you know, doing, you know, shows with appreciative audiences, et cetera, et cetera. So that would really be of help. But yeah, the distribution part of like getting the music out to people who just don't know it is a big thing. That would be helpful. So, you know, I can only do so much as one person trying to do it all myself.
Right.
You know? So, but
tell the radio family how they can connect with you on social media.
Sure. Yeah. You know, all the usuals, the Facebooks, the Instagram. My name is very easy to find because it's different. Tekla Waters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I go by. And it's, so just I'm mostly on Instagram and Facebook. And then my music's all over, like on, you know, Spotify, iTunes, all the use.
Yeah, so just know, tell your husband I want to tap him sometime soon. First of all, for my personal information, and then also, I'd love to have him on the radio.
Yeah.
And we can totally speak geek. I would love that.
Great.
That would be fun. But this has been so great. So, but before we close, I'd like to ask you, could you speak life into the listeners?
Yeah. So first of all, I love that phrase. I haven't heard that before.
No.
I love it.
You can use it.
it's it's like paints a picture. It's just so sweet and beautiful.
Thank you.
I think for me, it's hard for me to speak that way because I'm so much more of an internal processor and like then I like fine tune, and then I say the words I want to say through song. So it's like that's I'm so not good at like but I guess you know I could say like I just feel like it's important in life to follow your star, you know, just like when you are feeling inside of you a little tingle about something, you know, whatever it is, like maybe it's, you know, coding or maybe it's like, you know, painting or sculpting, or maybe it's writing, or maybe it's, you know, I don't know, cooking or, but when you feel that tingle, like I say to lean into it as much as you can, because that is where your true life's purpose and happiness is, I believe. I think it's really important, and you've got to kind of take chances because it's like people think like having a creative life like this like is impossible, but it's not. You can find a way to make a life for yourself doing something that is really, really, really meaningful to you, that gives you purpose and excitement and energizes you, and you can find a way to make it work. And the more you lean into it, the more you go for it, the more you open your mind to it, the more you're going to make those connections. You're going to like, the doors are going to open, because I think ultimately the universe wants to give us that. The universe wants to give us, or whatever you believe in, you know, the divine powers, the God that, you know, wants to give us what we have in our souls. So I guess that's what I have to say.
Well, no, that was perfect.
Okay.
Well, that's exactly what I was hoping for. So that's it, Tekla. This means so much, and thank you so much, Tekla Waterfield. And I'm
thank
so glad
you,
you know we met, of course, through you know singing and performing. And so we wish you much success, and to pay
thank
it
you.
Forward by bringing someone else along on your journey. And reach out to us anytime if you'd like to share any upcoming releases. And enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you.
I'm sure I'll see you out there in the streets of Seattle sharing your music, babies.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
All right.
You
are so welcome. Enjoy. Yeah.
All right.
Next show date, Monday, May 20th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Special guest will be R&B singer-songwriter Alfred Jackson. Make sure to check out April's segment of In the Mix with DJ Shaheem, which broadcasted on April 4th. Also, make sure to tune in to the next In the Know with Ohiniwa show, which will air on April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Her featured guest will be Melvin Leonard, a singer-songwriter, producer, and musician. All the IO Radio show segments are available on demand for your listening pleasure. Thank you all for listening to the Getting Real with Roz broadcast. Don't forget to speak life into someone. Be love and light to others. 99 Radio family.
Let's teach these people just how we party. Let's get together and dance. Let's get together and dance. Let's teach these people just how we do it. Just shake your body.